suggest that you start with those three portions, one from Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. And another from Psalm 144, and a little portion from Psalm 74. Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, and verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. Now, from Psalm 74, and verse 5, 6, 7. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary, they have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. Now Psalm 144. Verses 11 and 12. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones. And those who read Mr. Darby's translation will notice that he has put corner columns there. Polished, and he put sculptor there, after the similitude or the fashion of the pattern. I've spoken once on this to some young people, just very briefly, down in a little gathering. This afternoon I would like to enlarge on it by the Lord's help. These verses are not always spoken from, but we trust that they contain a message for you this afternoon. It shows here that he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. So we see, dear young Christians, this afternoon, we have something about hedges. And it is about hedges we want to talk by His grace and truth. Now God has a lot to say in His Word about hedges. And those who find the light in reading the book of Job will find that hedges are mentioned there. Now, for instance, take Job 1:10. Those who have their Bibles to look it up, we read, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" Notice that, a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Satan talks about hedges. And then in Job 3 and verse 23, we read, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and about whom God hath hedged in?" It's interesting to notice in God's word about faith. And in Job 19 and verse 8 we read, "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. I cannot pass." And Jeremiah says twice over, God has made a fence of hewn stones so that he cannot get out of the prison of life. Now we know, dear young Christians, what hedges are for. And we who have lived in the living so long are accustomed to hedges, but not the kind of hedges that you have here. We have hedges made of these, we call them tulipi. Those are thorn bushes which grow in profusion in that land where we have excessive sun and not much rain. It appears that those bushes do not come to maturity and so become laden with thorns. Thorn bushes, thorns, these great thorns, finish the finger. And we know all about these thorns when we go over them with our trucks. Now, that's a hedge, dear young Christian, then serves two purposes, doesn't it? A hedge serves to keep the sheep in and to keep the wolf out. A hedge serves to keep the sheep in and to keep Mr. Fox or Mr. Wolf out. And so in Bolivia, every night we have to bring home our goats and our sheep. And we put them inside of these thorn hedges. And there the old Indian dogs sleep. They're born, the little puppies are born in those corrales, we call them. They live there and take the goats and sheep out every day and they die there. Faithful little dogs. And so these hedges are important to keep the sheep in and to keep the wolf out. In the book of Genesis, you know, we read of a woman there who broke through a hedge. And do you know, and you must truly know by reading God's word, that enough tears have been shed to drown the world because of that one step in breaking through a hedge. And as we read the story of our first parents, we can seem intermingled with their sins, floods of tears. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall raise thee. And we read there too of thorns which speak of the curse, and thistles which speak of desolation, and dust from whence we have come. For the meaning of Adam is red earth and our indigenous sin. Those songs, when they're drunk, from earth we came to earth to go again. And when they get sober, I take up their little ditties and put some nice words to them, and we sing their little ditties with some spiritual understanding. And they understand that they are mortal men and women, and that's what we are. There was a hedge broken through, dear young Christian. And the world has been flooded in tears ever since. Then, we think of a man who would not break a hedge. And he's in glory this afternoon, the Son of God. He would never break a hedge. He delighted to do the Father's will. He would do that. He delighted to do his will. Though I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. Oh, God. He never would. And there was one of God's dear servants called Paul. once they saw the passage, then afterwards all the apostles, he would never break ahead. And one thinks of that shipwreck, the boat broken in pieces, and we find a group of shivering souls on the beach, and they go and gather some sticks to light a fire. And in that bundle of sticks there was a hibernating snake, if you please, which came to life with the warmth of the fire, and it laid hold upon the wrist of the apostle. But what did he do? He shook it into the fire and felt so hard. Here we have Luke, beloved, finishing up his great chronological of the history of the church, with a serpent on the wrist of Satan himself, in figure on the wrist of the apostle. And he shook the beast into the fire. That's Romans 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And there we have a man who would not break a hedge. Well, there are other things about this. The farmers put their hedges up, don't they? They have hedges too. And our Indians have hedges. And they keep out the wolves and keep it in. I'd like to mention a few things this afternoon in a simple way that are very real to my own soul. Since I've come into this land of culture and progress, I find that there's a tremendous breaking of hedges. Every day we read in the papers, and I hope you don't read them much, but occasionally we do get hold of the paper and read. Hope you won't read them too much and get soothing of the Word of God. But we read of scientists putting into the sphere above a Sputnik. Millions and billions are being spent, beloved, every year in shooting something into the air. One would wonder if they're breaking hedges by doing this. Man is not supposed to know anything about those things. But there is coming a day, beloved, when we shall know, even as we are fully known. It is such a shame that billions should be spent in shooting these things into the air. But for, I just don't know. I wonder if we do know. But man is breaking hedges, and in doing so, he's fulfilling Scripture. Knowledge is increased. And there are many instances, you know. I go to a college, and I talk to some of the students about the Lord Jesus. And they say, oh, sir, that's antiquated. That's all antiquated stuff. We don't want it. We want something modern. And wherever we go today, dear young Christians, we find this same spirit abroad. The old landmarks are being removed. The old faith of our fathers, for which they bled and died, is being trampled down by this multitude of moderns. The old truth of God's book. This wonderful book, open in our hands this afternoon, and will be open in heaven forever, is not believed. I believe this book from cover to cover, that it not merely contains God's Word, but is the Word of the living God. Oh, dear young Christian, get that, please, into your soul. It is the Word of the living God. God has said that it liveth and abideth forever. May God deliver you, young students, from from the plague of modernistic teachers and of men who put their poor, miserable, vain thoughts, of which we read in that such are vanity, and in the original setting it is a vacuum. All that God will deliver you, students, from any distrust whatsoever in this blessed book that will be opened in heaven. Men are breaking church. Everyone. They don't want this truth. They don't want this life. And they want to forget God. Such God will cast into hell and all the nations that forget God. This book, beloved, is God's voice to you and to me. This book, this blessed book. I was reading some of the history of the church, and it's good reading for you young people to get Mr. Miller's church history. I don't know whether they keep that in the Bible publishing. Get that and read it. And you'll find what it has cost some of the early Christians to maintain this precious, precious truth. I was thinking, you know, of the olden days when under Rome itself, tunnels were made by those early Christians, not only there, but in other places. And where for the fear of being found out, they would venture under the earth. And at the extremity of one of those tunnels, they would find a volume there. Open it and read just the verses and get out again before they would stop. Just imagine what that would be like here in this land if we were only able to read in this way God's truth. And yet, we often find this blessed book with dust on it. We're not reading it enough as we should. The apostle says, "Be strong, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast learned with me, commit unto faithful men." How can we be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus if we are in this blessed book? There are some essentials to grow in grace, and it is the daily reading of the scriptures. You'll not break hedges if you read and obey this book. You'll not break them. To get down on your knees and pray, and afterwards to walk in obedience and subjection to the truth, to keep short accounts with God, and then to keep you happy, confess Christ to others. In this way, we can, by His grace, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But this is not what's on my mind here for you, dear young people. I want to mention a few things that I've noticed. It says here, "Whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite." I would like to talk to you a little while about manners and modesty and a word or so on marriage. "Whoso breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite." It is notable that in these days of advancement that the woman has come into this scene and has taken upon herself, I don't doubt her, but she has come into the scene and she is taking upon herself responsibilities that are possibly beyond her capacity as far as God's word is concerned. And the result is that she is breaking hedges.
may well button it out. Well, let me illustrate this. My dear wife, you know, in Bolivia, some of the ladies whom she knew so well in the city would say, Mrs. Smith, you have such a long, great big crop of hair. Don't, why don't you cut it off? You know, it's like you get so weak, so sweaty, and it wasn't such a burden to you. And she used to say, well, my dear, God's word won't let me do that. God's word doesn't permit me to do that. And that's fine. That's fine. Now, beloved, I was enjoying the other day, you know, the poor woman who came to the Lord Jesus. And, white his blessed feet with her hair of her head. Now, I don't want to offend you too much, you know, but you'd have to get pretty low down here if you have some of you to do that. Would it be possible to wipe his blessed feet that way? She did. She wiped his blessed feet. Now, that's one thing, you know. We read in the Word of God that the hair is the glory of the woman. It is. And we read, too, because of the angels. Now, it's interesting to notice what those angels think.
We think that they do not sin because they've never been redeemed, you see. But they say, the angels say, and I wonder what they say, beloved, when you get rid of your glory. You see, I wonder what they say. They say. As I was talking to a group in Canada 2 years ago or so, a large group of young people, and I happened to mention that, you know. One older brother said, well, Brother Eric, you can talk about these things because you're a missionary. Well, I said, I don't know about that. And I mentioned about that because of the angels, you know, and two young ladies came up to me and said, Brother Smith, from this day on, I'm going to fulfill the scripture. And next time I went back, they had a nice bomb on the back of their head. One of them is in China, going to Borneo today. That was nice, wasn't it? And so these, you know, they appear to you in this modern way of thinking. They appear very trivial, but they're not. There is subjection there. There is God's truth there. God's truth. It means a lot. And I'm so happy, you know, that not one of the sisters in the video has thought him. They all in the head. And it would be difficult, perhaps, for them to sit at the table if they didn't. Well, let us be careful of breaking edges. And I thought, too, of mothers. Do you know that your manners, dear young people, are the safeguard of your morals? May I repeat that? Your manners are the safeguard of your morals. And no young man and no young woman should put hands on each other. Keep your hands off, young men. It's a fire, and it will burn. Oh, that we might get a new conception of what sin is. I've often thought of this awful thing, sin. You know, I've been through many revolutions in Bolivia. One civil war and one general war. Not that I sanctioned it, but my lot has been thrown. And I've seen men who have aspired to get to the top of the tree and become president of the Republic of Bolivia. And in the act of taking the crown, the garland turns to ashes, and there's a calling and the dust.
Dr. Seeley's, a brother beloved. One of our best friends was a brother beloved. He died faithful to his Lord. Yes, he did. And his wife, the first lady of the land, stood by and crushed the day she'd ever seen him as he was dead. She said, I crushed the day that I ever saw him, and therefore turned it to a hush. But Dr. Seeley died happily, trusting the Lord. He has left us 17 volumes of lore, which form the basis of our legislature of that land. He said, with the Lord, Dr. Stevens. But there came a day he knew that it was a difficult place for him to be as president of the country, and he knew what awaited him. And do you know, I wasn't present there when this happened, but I wasn't far away. And a man had come to me in tears what had happened. There was a revolution. And all the beautiful furniture of the president was taken out onto the streets of La Paz. And his furniture was smashed to bits. And he had his clothes torn off him. And by his side was standing a little boy of 8 years of age, weeping, and a guard rescued the boy. That boy is our late president, Seals, the son of Dr. Seals, but he's not a believer. But I mention that because of the crawling and the defeat. Ah, what a defeat. One moment, the glory of the land, the next minute, the upscouring of the earth, his furniture smashed, football torn off his form. This God caught a man in the act of gouging his eyes out with a piece of steel, rescued Dr. Seals from the hands of the prophet. And there he is, very people, oh, I would make this with all the strength of my soul, there is a quality that inherits in sin. The moment you satisfy it, it becomes a lust for you and set on fire of hell itself. And the young man who was fain take to his bosom a dear young woman, a precious young woman, and he would violate with his lust that precious life. There again you have the drinking of a king. And the serpent bites you and bites you through. Oh, dear friends, be careful. The process, the custom of necking, I would say necking. You know what I mean? You're playing with fire. And I've written to many young men contemplating marriage. And I've said to them, dear young Christian folks, never do anything that when you do take that precious woman to you as your bride, never do anything that will make you a sad man all the rest of your married life. He that breaketh a hedge, a skirt shall bite. Man, all the rest of your married life. He that breaketh a hedge, the scripture of life. Marriage is a very important thing. I'm thinking now of a dear man in the list. I've mentioned his name before, but I mentioned his name again. Dear Nestor, my Trudy and I, we put him through college. He was such a bright kid. At the table, a brilliant fellow, an aristocrat, one of the old vignettes family, the Irish family, the only nobility of the country left. And Nestor, of course, was a brilliant man. And he became a director of one of the colleges. And we had such happy lives together. One day Nestor came to me and said, "Brother Smith, I'm going to be married." Well, I said, "Nestor, that's nice." He was 34 years of age. And he says, "I'm going to be married." I said, "Is she a Christian?" "No," he said, "she isn't. But," he says, "I'll win her. I'll win her. I'll win her." And we opened the Word of God, and I took him to that portion of 2 Corinthians 6. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." But communion or fellowship hath lightly darkness. What communion? Christ will say, and so on. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. And I will be a father to you, to my son, daughter, says the Lord Almighty." And we read together, and he bowed his head. He said, "Brother, that's God's word, but I'll win her. I'll win her." You know, I saw that man 15 years afterwards, a broken man, grown older, and I said, "Nestor, I'm so glad to see you. Have you won?" And he looked down, and he said, "No, brother." "How many children have you?" "Five." "Sons and daughters." And he said, "They're all over the town." There's a man who broke through a hedge and a serpent bit. Don't do that, please. God will never bless you. I would like to bring that hope to your dear heart. There can be no fellowship with darkness. The unequal yoke is one of the causes of sadness in our midst. And one brother came to me one day and said, "Brother, I'm ground to powder with the testimony of what I said. Ground to powder." That's it. Rules all, break and cage. Now, let us look for a little while at Psalm 74. A man, it said, was famous according as he lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the coward's work thereof at once with axes and hammers. Is it possible in your life, dear young believer, that you will lift the coward's work, that which has beauty in it, that which is pure, and that which is virtuous, would you take a hammer and viciously break down a circle of might with you? Let us be careful how we deal with eternal matters and with matters that concern our own person. You know, on the tops of the Andes of South America, where I used to go for a refresher. That is to say, after a long trek with the Indians, we would climb to the top of the inner Andes called Liki, La Cordillera de Liki. And there, in that pure atmosphere, it seemed to me to be such a refreshing for the soul. It seemed just like one step into heaven, away from the noise and strife or the booyah, as we say in Spanish, the din of heathendom, the drums along the river, the godlessness, the sin, and the paganism, and spiritism, you get away up with God, refine on the top of the ashes. It was a great experience. And many times I've been surprised up there. You know, there are little tiny flowers up there that open just for a moment or two before the sun goes and close up. And I've drawn the Christian's attention to that, these fellows with me, and I've said, brother, what do you think of that little flower? And he said, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it a beautiful flower? You know, they're men of nature. They love flowers, they love birds, and they know the name of every flower and the name of every little tree, and every bird, say they're nature men. And I said, you know, brother, that was made by him and for him. He said, I never thought of that. And they're so delicate, you see, they just, even at that tremendous time, I wouldn't have thought of belonging by a soul. Of course, I'm telling you what I think. And they open up, and they close up. And some of these flowers are so delicate that if you touch it with your finger, they pull in those things there. Pull in. Oh, dear young Christians, it's a wonderful thing to have a tender conscience like that before God. That when Satan fills your mind with lust and with thoughts of evil, what a wonderful thing is to draw in and say, no, Lord, no, Lord. I'm not. I pray for the grace of God. That delicate, sensitive. You know, there is something about it. That, about our bodies even, that cannot be trampled upon and wrapped. And you know what I mean, you young men, young women. God has given us these treasures in our own death to glorify Him. That's what He did to pay. Glorify God in His life. Now, I mention that by the way, but there are some who, forgetting these things, take the action to break it up. Let's not be guilty of that in handling this word. Nor in our association with those who do not. There are some who take up their hammers and they break down a calm word. That do. Not just a word, I want people to do now. We'll go back now just a moment to Psalm 144. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, full grown. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, covered of simple beauty. And Mr. Darby, I'll repeat that. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, cornerstones. Polish, after the similitude of a sculpture after the similitude of a is that what we are? I believe it is. And God holds you and me responsible. For in these facts, there are hedges that you break easily, and there's one more that I want to speak about and finish. There are some believers who break hedges spiritually, They recall them in Bolivia. Stones that gather no moss, they're rolling stones. There are some who go from place to place, servants, who come and hear this man. Let's go and hear this man. And suddenly they're missing from the prayer meeting, they're missing from the meeting just a little more. They're going after men. They're tasting things. They're breaking hedges. They've never seen this most important truth. That they are probably gathered together unto my name, their lion crystal, that the attraction of that place is the Lord Jesus. And they break hedges going to this place than to the other place. I tell you, dear friends, that they never go to break, and they never get to any real knowledge of the truth of the gospel. They break hedges. They break hedges. It is a good thing to be in your place, to have a joy in your soul, to be there. Oh, I wouldn't leave for anything or anybody the joy of being with my dear brothers and sisters, to be in my little place there. Every Lord's Day, every prayer meeting, every study meeting, reading meeting, to be for. There are so many here young Christians who are great hedges. And you know, they get mixed up in the world. Yesterday, and they get mixed up with other in love affairs, and they suddenly marry away from the little gatherings of the Lord's people. Haven't you seen that? And it's one of the sadness of Christian experience to see real young people dissatisfied with the person of Christ in their room and wandering off to and fro to hear sermons, hear sermons, or hear the big organ playing and this doesn't it? Therefore, may God preserve us from breaking hope. And so we have this little simple talk here this afternoon on the he that breaketh a hedge is servant to Christ. Beware. And these hedges of life, of modesty, of manners, and these hedges where God in his loving grace and kindness has hedged us in with those who are truly inhabit his precious name, don't break these hedges. Now may God bless you, dear Lord. Help us to take to heart what we've had this afternoon, this simple call. And beware of Satan, he's a wily foe. I've been used to Satan, you know, as a roaring lion, going around seeking whom he can play with power in Bolivia for long years. Here we have Satan as an angel of light, deceiving even those dear ones. Whoso breaketh a hedge is servant to my God. May God keep you inside of that hedge and take you into his own glory. Now shall we sing. Oh God, what calls of love are thine? What thine is that? How gentle, yet how strong, thy truth and grace and draw out the soul of the Lord. 197 will come out of the south now.
Thank you. Yeah.